I say good morning to each one of you and pray the word of God is going to bless you today. Hope you're having a good day in the Lord. The psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad we can be glad, aren't you? I'm glad God has people that serve Him of a free heart, and I hope you're one of those. It's not forced worship. It's not something we do because we have to. It's that God puts in our heart when He saves us. And if you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, you have something built within you, implanted by the Holy Ghost, that causes you to long to worship. You long to worship Him. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so going to God's house makes God's people glad. You know, I can understand how some people don't feel comfortable in church. They don't feel comfortable under anointed preaching. They don't feel comfortable around the things of the Lord. I remember that time. That was me some 27 years ago before God saved me. I went because I was invited. Kind of felt like I owed it to the person that asked me. I'm so glad they asked me. I'm glad they cared enough to get me under the Word. I'm glad they cared enough to invite me. I wonder how many of you today have invited someone. You've asked someone to go with you. You've encouraged them, not fussed at them. Encouraged them. God's called us to be encouragers, and we're to be those that promote the gospel, and they do it with love. And so I'm glad the little lady invited me, and she kept inviting, and we would put her off, and she'd keep inviting, and finally got a promise out of us. And I thought, well, I told her I'd go. I guess I will. And you know what happened? God's Word done something. And it wasn't that particular Sunday, but over the next few months, God's Word began to work in me. God's Word began to deal with me and to prick me. And God's call became my call. It was the call of Christ saying, through His Word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you know what happened at some point in time? Here in the next near future from that day, God gloriously saved me. And I'm so glad He did. And so that's why the psalmist said, I was glad. And everyone that is saved is glad to go to God's house. And you're disheartened when you can't go. You know, there's lots of things God's give us through His Word that's little simple tests. Little simple things where we can prove. Remember what the Word said? Prove your own selves. Know ye not, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 13:4-5, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And so what's he talking about? Unless you're a castaway and reprobated from God, Christ is in you, and you can know that you know, and we do that by self-examination. Paul also said something about this, remember over in Corinthians, where he said if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What's he talking about? This world won't judge us if we'll judge ourselves. If we'll take the Word of God and examine ourselves, same principle. If we will line our lives up by the Word, then what will happen is condemnation won't come from this world. Because we have been faithful judges. We've examined ourselves by the Word of God, and it's propelled us forward and not backward. I'm glad that the Word does that, aren't you? The Word of God, have you noticed this? The Word always brings us closer to Christ. That's why we need the Word. Need a daily appetite of it. We need to spend time in it, meditate over it, pray over it, and ask God, who is the living Word, to speak to us in a powerful, personal way. Well, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, warming up to you a little bit. I'm trusting that you got your Bible, if you're able to look. If you're on the road, we don't want you doing that. We want you to listen to the Word, and may God's Word feed you today. I think God has something He wants to say. And so I still want to encourage you to be in His house. You said, preacher, I'm not saved. I understand that. Go anyway. Go and listen. Listen, nobody's going to ask you to lead the singing. Just go and listen. Nobody's going to ask you to preach or testify. Go and listen to God's Word. To hear the Word of God is so powerful, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I know some of you will say, well, preacher, I listen to this broadcast. This is where I get preaching. And I'm glad that's the case. But I tell you, you need to be, and I encourage you to be, around God's people, God's anointed preaching, God's presence. And so it's something about that when we are in the presence of the Lord. And so look with us. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to begin reading here and talk about a few things that the Lord would have us see. Now, we are in a very precarious time. I'm talking about we as a world right now. Because there's things going on, there's invasions taking place, there's all kind of things happening in the world event, and the news broadcast are filled with some of these. But I'm going to tell you these, and we'll talk about what they are. These will not hold a lamp unto the event that I'm about to read to you today. Because Paul said, hit this, and we're going to skip around. You know, we'll move around a little bit. We won't stay put too long. But I want you to see something here in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. You know, the choir singing a song that says, victory is in Calvary. Thank God the victory was sealed at Calvary. Don't that make you happy? I tell you, if you're saved, it makes you happy. And the only thing that's going to make you happy if you aren't saved is you becoming one of God's personal representatives. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. We, as believers, you know what we are? We're sinners saved by grace. But when God saved us, He made us one of His personal representatives. We are statesmen of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are representatives. And so when our Secretary of State flies across the universe and meets with leaders everywhere, that person, man or woman, is representing our sovereign nation. And so when we, as God's young'uns, go in Jesus' name, you know what we do? We represent God and His authority. Now watch this. Paul did a great job of this, and he said, behold, I show you a mystery, verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I like how he done that in the 54th verse. He says, when this happens, that I just said by the Spirit of God will happen. Now, Paul, we know everything God gave a writer to write, He gave it to him by the Holy Ghost. And this is why we can say the Word of God is inspired. Preacher, how do you know it's inspired? Well, we've got that witness in 2 Peter 1, 20, 21, where he said that the Word did not come. What happened? How did we get the Word of God? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. It's not of any private interpretation. It was not drummed up by men, but holy men of God spake. How do they speak? They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so you have to believe that God's Word is inspired personally by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, so when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. This brings up another point, because I hope you understand this, that not one jot or one tittle of God's Word will fall to the ground. Now, those aren't words we use today, but that's what Jesus used. And I'm going to tell you, not one word, not one passage, not one phrase, not one scripture, nothing of God's Word is going to fall unfulfilled. And so here he said, when this comes to pass, then this saying shall be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. He said, when this happens, you'll know, behold, Verse 51 said, I show you a mystery. Paul said, I'm going to open up some mysteries to you. I'm going to reveal some things about some mysteries of the Word of God. You know, people love a good mystery, don't they? They'll buy books that are mystery books. They'll watch mystery movies, mystery shows. They love. It's something about the human makeup that loves a good mystery. Matter of fact, we're dealing with some of those. We're dealing with that right now. We're dealing with Putin and Russia invading a country. And that country, as we speak today, is voting upon, will they keep their sovereignty or will they yield their sovereignty unto an invasive, and that's not a good word, an invasive country like Russia? Which will they do? Where will they go? Today, as we speak, they're holding a referendum vote. And so there's some mystery there about the future of Crimea and Russia. And so we've got that going on. But I'm going to tell you, there's another mystery today that's puzzled the whole universe. Matter of fact, all the news channels are talking about it. You know what they're talking about? A Malaysian plane that has went off course and apparently hijacked and going to only God knows where. Nobody can find it. All the satellites can't find it. All the radar equipment can't catch up with it. And so there's no word from a loved one. Everybody's got cell phones today, but there's no cell phone call. And so of all the technology that we hold, here we see a mystery that has puzzled literally the whole world. And so here, all of the nations are involved. Watch this now. How many nations? Well, there was 14 nations involved. And now there's 25 nations that's involved in this mysterious hunt for a jumbo jet. I'm going to tell you, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And it's a mystery that you will not be able to explain, although all the world shall see it. Now watch this. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. Now, Paul is not talking about something that has happened and we're trying to explain how it did happen. No, Paul is explaining what will happen, and he's saying it by the authority of God's Word. This will come to pass, and God's Word will be fulfilled. I'm telling you in advance, behold, I show you. He said, look, I'm going to show you a mystery that we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to go the way of the grave, but we all shall be changed. Now, note this, because we said something about this and often do say something about this over in 1 Thessalonians the 4th chapter. And so here, when Paul said and dealt with those precious passages, we're going to maybe look at those in a minute, but we're focusing right here. He said, this mystery is we shall not all sleep, but we all, A-double-L. I'm going to give you a warning. A warning from the Word of God. All mankind shall be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. Now, here he's talking about saved people. Saved people are going to be changed. When the rapture of the church takes place, you know what's going to happen? Saved people are going to be caught up together with Christ in the clouds, with the dead saints in the clouds. And you know what's going to happen? We shall be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. And we shall be changed. And so Paul said, so when this has happened, verse 54, when this has happened, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now here Paul is pulling this verse straight out of the Word of God. He didn't make it up. It's right out of Isaiah 25:8. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He said the sting of death is sin. Now you said, preacher, how do you know that's so? Where did sin, where did death originate? Death was the byproduct of sin. And so sin was in the garden, and by death, by sin came death. And so it's what's going to happen. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, that's easily explained, and we see it over the third chapter of the book of Romans, where Paul made it clear that until there was a law, we knew no sin. And so what happened? Law exposed our sinfulness. This is the need for the Word of God. The need for the Word of God is that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. It's what God's law does. It's why it's the most precious book, but yet the most hated book in all creation. You know why? Because it shows us. It's like the X-ray light that illuminates our heart and shows us the thoughts of our mind. It shows us our innermost thoughts. It reveals who we really are. That's why people don't like the Word of God. It's much of what we were saying earlier. You know, it's something uncomfortable about getting around God's Word. It's something uncomfortable, especially if you're lost, about being around, say, people who talk about things of eternity. You know why? Because humanity don't want to think about eternity. It does not want to think about dying. Humanity is centered around pride. And so pride, what's that in the middle of I? You spell it pride, the middle of the word when you spell it out. I is in the center of pride. You see it right there. Watch now. Also, I is in the center of sin. And so we find it here that it's all about I. That was Lucifer's problem. And we see that over in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, in the 14th chapter. We see that where five times Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit upon God's throne. I. That's our problem. And humanity does not like to think of the thought that we will expire, that we won't live forever. And so here what happens? God is calling us and revealing to us by His Word that we can live forever, but we'll have to deny self. Wasn't that the rich young ruler's problem? He went away sorrowful. He asked Christ the famous question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus gave him the right answer. He said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "All those I've done from my youth up." But Jesus knew where his problem lay. His problem lay in himself. And he said, "Deny yourself. Sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me." That's what he couldn't do. And some of you today, that's what you can't do. That's what you're not willing to do. And so it's the same problem Lucifer had. It's the pride problem. It's the sin problem. And the center of that is in one letter, I. It's in you. And until God gives you grace and God grants you repentance, you will not deny yourself and you will not be prepared for eternity. Watch this. So the corruptible, what's it going to do? Going to put on incorruption. What's the mortal going to do? It's going to put on immortality. And so God said these things will happen. And thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is something we should see. Our victory is not in ourselves. Our victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any person, mark this down, that's ever been saved, was saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus said this in John 14:6, he wasn't whistling Dixie. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "Except you come by me, you cannot come." How many come around me? None. How many come over me or under me? You know, can you imagine this? The doorway's blocked and you're trying to find a way in. And you know, so many times we have insects find their way in. Oh, God made it clear the spider can find his way in the king's palace. And so what here we find where the aggravating insects and what have you can find their way in. But Christ said, "You can't come except you come through me." And that's why Paul said that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not trusting in our works, not trusting in anything we've done, not trusting in what we know, but who we know. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back up a little bit, because we want to say a couple more things about this mystery. You know, people today are bringing the experts in and they're trying to explain. And I feel my heart goes out for the loved ones of those 239, whatever that number is, of the passengers of that flight 370. My heart aches for them. I hope they're still alive. I pray they are. But if they're not, I pray they were ready. You know, people said, "Preacher, I've got life by the tail. I know what's going to happen tomorrow." Do you? Do you really know? I find it that we don't know. I find it that people leave for work that never get there. I find it that people leave for home that never show up. I find it that people board airplanes that never reach their destination. And so here, the mystery. Paul said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." I love this place over in 1 Timothy 3:16. He said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." But here, Paul said, "I'm showing you a mystery that's been revealed to us by His Word, that we shall not all die." We're not going to go the way of the grave, not everybody. He said, "Preacher, our generation might, it might, but not everybody is." And so we don't know when this event's going to take place, but I'm going to tell you, there's nothing from stopping it from being today. And so just as those people who boarded, those precious souls created in the image of God, that boarded this flight, trusting to go, I think that flight was headed for Beijing, trusting to land there, it did not happen. Something interrupted their plans. And just as you today, you know what you're going to do. James made it very clear. He said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." He said, "Go to now. Ye that say, tomorrow I'm going to go over here and I'm going to buy and sell, make a gain." He said, bless God, James said, "Do it now. Because you know not what tomorrow holds." You know not what lies ahead. You do not know. He said, "What is your life? Your life's but a vapor. It's here a little while, and it vanisheth away." That's your life, sir. Just as, how many of you can relate to this? Something happens in the morning when you're headed to work, and all of a sudden, your windshield, for no apparent reason, it fogs, and then it just vanisheth away. Did you know what happened? You didn't know what happened to cause it, and you didn't, unless you're, you know, a Scientologist, you didn't know what happened to stop it, but it just happened and it vanished. God said your life's like that. And James said, if you got something on your menu, then go ahead and do it now. Do it now. Go to now. And so here, what happens? He said, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not ready for eternity." Well, do it today. You call on God out of a pure heart today. What's that mean? That doesn't mean your heart's pure. He said, "Preacher, there's poison in my heart." There's poison in every heart. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Jeremiah said, 17:9-10, and he said, "Who can know it? Who can know their heart?" When God says call on the Lord out of a pure heart, you know what that means? That means your motives are pure. You're not doing it for selfish gain. You're not doing that to put on a show. You're doing it out of a pure heart. God's moved on you. He's called you by His Word. He spoke to you. He's drawn you to Himself. And out of a pure heart, you call on the only God and the only Christ that can save you and prepare you. Paul said there's a mystery. There's a mystery. Now watch this. When this mystery happens, every news channel will be covering it, I promise you. Listen, the whole world will stop and ask what happened. Listen, parents are going to be looking for their children. Children are going to be looking for their parents. There are going to be people and mass vanishings. Why? Because every saved person is going to leave this earth. It doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are. People said, "Preacher, I know folks that just ain't healthy enough for an event like that. Their heart couldn't endure it." You can write this down. Paul said, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." We're not all going to die, sir. "But we shall all be changed." What's that talking about? Every saved person will be changed. And every unsaved person will. You know, it's in black and white. It's in stone. It's in the stone of the Word of God. It's engraved right here, sir. Every unsaved person will be left. I don't want to be here talking about it when it happens. I don't want to be sticking around trying to explain the mystery. You, listen, this is a grand event. my heart still hurts for those that can't find their people. There's no way to minimize this. But let's don't try to change the fact of God's Word today. That God's Word is going to be so cataclysmic when Jesus comes back. And when He steps out on the cloud, when He calls His young'uns home, listen, the whole world will stop in its tracks. It will see and watch and endure that catching away of the church. And there are going to be broken graves everywhere. Those graves are going to give up their dead. Thank God those bodies, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. And so here we're going to find it. Those dead saints will. We're going to see people that's been dead. I'm talking about dead saints that's been dead before this country was ever had a constitution. There's going to be dead saints that are going to leave here. There are going to be dead saints that are going to get up and fly out. And you want to talk about a mystery that no news channel, no expert, oh, there's going to be some people that can explain it, but it's going to be after the fact. It's going to be too little too late. They're going to be left behind. They're going to endure the chaos. They're going to endure the mass confusion. If you're left, sir, you are going to endure things that you do not want to endure. Because quickly behind that is a tribulation time. And just as we were talking about the nations gathered together in this search, I read in Zechariah 14, I read of a time when all nations are going to gather together. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to gather together to fight against Israel. They're going to gather together to fight against Christ and His church. They're going to gather. You said, preacher, I thought the church was gone. That's right, but He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Revelation 19:11. He's the white horse rider, and His saints are coming back with Him. That's every saved person. Listen, you want to know when this broadcast is going to stop? When the church goes out, this broadcast is going to be over. Now, they may play some old things. Whoever's left behind, they may play some stuff that you know is retro, but I'm going to tell you, thank God, the church, when the church goes up and the church goes out, brother, it is going to be something that no one can explain but those that read it from God's Word. But I'm giving you an advance warning today, even as Paul gave us a warning. He said, I'm not going to try to explain a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. He said, go ahead and heed it now. These things will happen. Now, can we say a little bit about, I know our time's getting close. Can we say just a little bit about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Because it's almost like committing a crime to read one without reading the other, isn't it? Now, I'm being facetious, but watch this. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, here he said, people said, preacher, I wish you'd explain it better. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And so we're not going to be looking for a plane. Thank God we're going to be looking for the Savior, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so what's going to happen? We're not going to be looking for something that was in the sky. We're going to be looking for Him in the sky when He comes in the clouds and He descends from heaven with a shout. Now watch this. The whole world, you talk about a sonic boom and sometimes that ruffles your feathers. Listen, Jesus, when He comes with a shout, everybody's going to stop what they're doing. I'm talking about mills are going to stop. You said, preacher, I'm in the loudest place. I couldn't dare hear it. I believe you could be in a mine, a coal mine in here. When Christ comes with a shout, it will stop this whole world in its tracks. And so He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. I can imagine that trumpet sounding. Could you hear the clearest trumpet sound? Could you hear a trumpet sound that can resound around the whole earth? It's going to happen. And so we find it now that the archangel, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. And so we're going to hear the shout of God. We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. You know what he's saying? Come up hither. We're going to hear that. And we're going to hear the trump of God, and then what's going to happen? All around us, going to be a bad time to be down to the cemetery if you're unsaved, because there's going to be some saints getting up. People said, "Preacher, it'll be a hallucination." It won't be a hallucination. It's going to be dead saints getting up, being reunited with their Savior. That's what it's going to be. Then we which are alive and remain. Now here it is. I don't know when this is going to happen, and I don't know if I'm going to be in the ground or if I'm going to be on top of the ground, but I know either way I go. I know either way, because God saved me, not because what I done, because what He done. Because I'm the recipient of God's free grace. Now here we're getting down to where you are. Where are you going to be when this event takes place? Paul said, "I show you the mystery. The mystery's here. It's here. It's plain in view that Christ will come. Dead saints are getting up. Bless God, living saints are going out, and we shall be changed, and we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to be looking for what was in the air. We're going to be looking for Him who is in the air. Thank God, it's why we ought to be looking up. Jesus said, when all these things happen, He said, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so we know He was talking about some end time events there, but I'm going to tell you that blessed verse applies to the believer, and it applies to the Jew. It applies to both events, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be worried about bills to pay. I'm not going to be worried about the things undone. I'm not going to be worried about, like the old song says, I ain't going to need this house no longer. I ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the windows. Ain't got time to fix the floors. I'm going to tell you, that's going to come to life, sir. When saints get up and saints go out, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's die, but we shall all be changed. I wonder where you're going to fall in that mix today. You know, Jesus fixed it where you could be saved, gloriously saved, where you could shout the victory shout, enjoy the blessings of God. Jesus fixed it where this mystery that Paul said, I show you, will not catch you unawares. It will not catch you off guard. If you'll receive God's free grace, stop where you are today and say, Jesus, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me, come inside of me and live, Lord. Save me by your great grace. Father, would you do it today? I trust God would hear a prayer like that. I just believe that Christ died to save sinners, don't you? I trust that God died. Jesus, we're going to be celebrating the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus real soon. I trust that Christ died for sinners like you. I know He died for sinners like me. I'm glad it didn't matter what I'd done. I'm glad it didn't matter where I'd been. The only thing that mattered, if I would approach God out of a pure heart, He'd hear my cry and He'd save me. Father, would you do it today? Save the lost, Lord. God, it's a great mystery you've shown us from your word. God, I'm glad we can know things. You've given them to us. I'm glad we can see things we can't say, Lord, we didn't know. Father, if we've heard this broadcast today, we can't say at the judgment, nobody ever told me. We can't say nobody ever warned me. We can't say, God, I was ignorant and I did not know. You said, preacher, I can't read. You don't have to read to hear the word of God. You don't have to be literate to hear the word. You can hear. You can hear it. The gospel's to be preached, and men are to hear it. Women are to hear it. No one's unaccountable that's heard this broadcast today. That's you, sir. God's put His finger on you, your life, ma'am. God's calling you in a very specific way right now. Father, do it today. Save the lost. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you, we pray.